Hello, and welcome to Poetry Soup. I'm your host, Emma Catherine Hoff. Each episode, I'll discuss a different poem and poet. Today, I'll be talking about Sestina by John Ashbery. Imagine a painter that could never even begin a single painting. This is the subject of John Ashbery's The Painter. This poem is a beautiful Sestina. We'll talk more about Sestinas later. That Connor, the instructor of one of the stone soup writing workshops, brought up in one of his classes. John Ashbery was born on July 28, 1927, in Rochester, New York, the U.S. He was a member of the New York School of Poets, a group of poets, many of whom lived in New York City, who had similar writing styles. The school included some of my favorite poets. James Schuyler, Kenneth Koch, Barbara Guess, and Frank O'Hara were all members. Ashbery wrote a lot during his lifetime, including a novel called A Nest of Ninnies, published in 1969 with Schuyler, and many poetry collections, including Self-Portrait in a Convex Mirror, which was published in 1975 and won 3 awards, the Pulitzer Prize, the National Book Award, and a National Book Critics Award. Ashbery also penned several plays and was an art critic. In fact, a book called Reported Sightings, Art Chronicles 1957 to 1987, edited by Daniel Bergman, was published in 1989, containing Ashbery's collected art reviews. Ashbery's poems were also compiled into collected poems, 1956 to 1987, which made Ashbery the first poet to ever be published in the Library of America, LOA, series. John Ashbery died on September 3, 2017, in Hudson, New York, U.S., at the age of 90. The Painters. Sitting between the sea and the buildings, he enjoyed painting the sea's portrait. But just as children imagine a prayer is merely silence, he expected his subject to rush up the sand and, seizing a brush, plaster its own portrait on the canvas. So there was never any paint on his canvas until the people who lived in the buildings put him to work. Try using the brush as a means to an end. Select for a portrait something less angry and large, and more subject to a painter's moods, or perhaps to a prayer. How could he explain to them that the prayer, that nature, not art, might usurp the canvas? He chose his wife for a new subject, making her vast like ruined buildings. As if, forgetting itself, the portrait had expressed itself without a brush. Slightly encouraged, he dipped his brush into the sea, murmuring his heartfelt prayer, "My soul, when I paint this next portrait, let it be you who wrecks the canvas." The news spread like wildfire through the buildings. He had gone back to the sea for his subject. Imagine a painter crucified by a subject. Too exhausted even to lift his brush, he provoked some artists leaning from the buildings to malicious mirth. We haven't a prayer now of putting ourselves on canvas or getting the sea to sit for a portrait. Others declared it a self-portrait. Finally, all indications of a subject began to fade, leaving the canvas perfectly white. He put down the brush. At once a howl that was also a prayer arose from the overcrowded buildings. They tossed him, the portrait, from the tallest of the buildings, and the sea devoured the canvas and the brush, as though his subject had decided to remain a prayer. This is a miraculous example of a Sestina. But what is a Sestina? A Sestina is a poetic form of all lines ending the same way. Did you notice how certain words are repeated throughout the poem? Those are the 6 end words. Each line has to end with them, but they shift position in different stanzas. Each stanza has 6 lines. Each line ends with a word. The last word of the last line is the word that ends the first line of the next stanza. The end word of the first line becomes the end word of the second line. It's a really complicated pattern, so it's always helpful to have an example poem. A Sestina has 7 stanzas. The last stanza has 3 lines and uses two of the end words in each line. Sometimes, because this form can be restrictive, Sestinas can sound clunky. The painter, however, has done a very good job of flowing just like a free-form poem should. Now I am led to talk about the poem itself. I'm not trying to be cliché when I say that this poem emphasizes the power of creativity. In the beginning of the poem, the painter sits and stares at the sea. but he doesn't paint. The people in the buildings tell him to try using the brush and actually paint something. They tell him that if he can't paint the sea, he should choose something else for a subject. So he chooses his wife. However, the painter still does not draw anything and returns to the sea as his subject. The ending of his poem is strange. The people become so angry that they throw his canvas off the top of the building into the ocean. But even though he has not painted anything, he is so involved in his art that the blank portrait has become himself. They are one and the same. In the last line, as though his subject had decided to remain a prayer, Ashbery shows that his painting was a hope. It was something silent but beautiful because he had imagined it. This poses the question, is it still a work of art if it isn't put down on paper or if it doesn't make sense or please others? This poem seems to be somewhat based on Ashbery's experience. When W.H. Auden, for example, declared Ashbery's book, Some Trees, as the winner of the Yale Younger Poets Prize, he afterwards confessed he hadn't understood a word of the manuscript. So, Ashbery may have written this poem as a response to his critics. It states that his poems don't need to make sense. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Poetry Soup, and I'll see you soon with the next one.